Thank you, Greg. That was very timely for me to be reminded that there's a warfare, there's a spiritual warfare, and that we need to be mindful. On Friday at the Bible study, we read chapter 4 of John, where Jesus talks to the Samaritan woman. And while we were reading that, what I was reminded was Jesus never sought to do his will. He was always looking to do the will of the Father. And that's something that has always been the focus of my life. If God's Son chose to do the will of the Father, he surrendered himself totally, became a bond slave. Although he was God, he did not equate himself with God. And he's our example. So I want to go through a few verses which highlights that. Because the purpose of our life is not to be in a rat race. Purpose of our life is not to make more money, have bigger and better barns. The focus of our life is not doing good works, but doing God works, what God wants. It's not about being religious, being a good person, because there's no one good but God. That we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We all need forgiveness from God and redemption and grace from God. So the focus is that we may know him. And we can only know him through doing his will, through seeking his face, to yearning for him. And I want to share some things that Jesus did. And he's our role model. And although he was 100% God, he never used his own power for his own benefit. He became empty. He took on the very nature of man, and he depended on God's grace to do everything that the Father wanted him to do. I would like to share a scripture, John chapter 4, verse 34. Actually, not 34, 32. I wrote it wrong in my notes. And I'll read a verse above it. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." And he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know." And then he goes on to say in verse 34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." His food, he hungered to do the Father's will. In John chapter 5, verse 19, "Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner.'" Jesus sought to do the will of the Father. Whatever the Father says, he said. Whatever the Father does, he does. Philippians chapter 2. We'll go to that. Verse 5 onwards. "Have this attitude in yourselves, which also which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason, God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. He took on the nature of a servant. He sought to do the Father's will. He emptied himself. A bond servant doesn't have a will. Does not have a will. He only does what the master wants. It's when we do that, we start experiencing God in a more intimate way. Where when we go through temptations, when we go through feelings, when we go through struggles in life, we can cry out to God. We can yearn to him and say, Lord, I need you. And it says in one of the scriptures, and then I'll open it, in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 to 9, in the days of his flesh, he offered both prayers and supplication with loud crying, with tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. Having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey the source of eternal salvation. And I always wondered, like, what must it be like for Jesus in his life on earth? Because in the Gospels, you see him healing the sick, walking on water, turning water into wine. But what you don't see as much, except in the story of the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is going through distress to the point of death. But this scripture actually shows in the days of his life on earth, he was called a man of sorrows because he chose to do the will of the Father. He loved God more than he loved the world. He loved God more than he loved his own will. And God delivered him. And I look at myself, I am very imperfect. If you want to know how imperfect I am, ask my wife and my kids. I'm flawed. I've not arrived, I've not attained. But what I do is I press on. But I yearn to be in his presence every moment, in every thought, in every deed. And he's such a graceful father. He doesn't look for perfection, flawlessness. He looks for humility. He looks for the desire to follow him. The purpose of our life is to know him. And the only way we can know him is if we lay down our lives, if we lay down our wills, if we lay down our dreams, our aspirations, and we seek his face. And the more we do it, the more we'll be formed into his image, the more we'll see God's power. We'll also see an intense battle that Greg mentioned. There is an enemy that doesn't want us to seek him, that doesn't want us to know him. Because the more we know him, the more we'll be like him. And the more we be like him, the more the world will see Jesus. And so the enemy will cause a lot of distractions, whether it's money, whether it's power, whether it's praise, whether it's adoration of people, whether it's, he can even distract us with ministry. He can distract us with following. But if we seek God, and seek his face and seek to do his will, we cannot do his will without the grace he provides. We cannot have the grace unless we are humble. So this whole life journey is an amazing process for us to lay ourselves down, do his will, but the best part is we cannot do this without him. So in that process of leaning on him, we actually get to know him. And that is far better than religion. That is far better than doings. It's the purpose why we were created. We were created to know him. I would like to read a scripture I shared with my friend in India. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things a loss in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered loss of all things, count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, that I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed in death, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead." I would like to encourage every one of you, even as this word is for me too, is seek God, hunger for him, deny yourself, take up the cross and follow him. It's not a walk of perfection, but it's a walk of pursuit. And the enemy will accuse you at times, saying you're not perfect. Agree with him, you're not perfect. But the author of the faith, the finisher of your faith, is Jesus. So don't look at yourself on this journey. Don't look at your flaws. Don't look at how far you have to go in your walk with God. It's a walk. It's one step at a time. Do what he tells you to do. If he wants you to get rid of something, ask him for grace to get rid of it. If he wants you to apologize to someone, ask his grace to apologize. If he wants you to change how we speak, like he constantly tells me, "Son, that could have been said differently. That should have been avoided." If you seek to do his will, he will guide you. Because those who are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And led by the Spirit to do what? To do the Father's will. What's the purpose of the Father's will? That you may know God. So let's draw closer to God in our difficulties, in our depressions, in the politics at work, in difficulties in marriage and parenting. Let every situation that is thrown at you be an opportunity to seek him and draw closer to him. I'd like to read one more scripture. Philippians chapter 3. He says in verse 12, "Not that I have already obtained it or have become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which Christ was laid hold, for which I was laid hold by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward for what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The devil wants us to remember our past mistakes. He wants to condemn us for our past. Or he wants us to focus on our future and get worried about it. Our past is covered by the blood of Jesus. Our future is in God's hands. What the devil does is by focusing on the past or on the future, robs us of the present. And the present is where worship happens. Present is where obedience happens. And in the present is where we get to know God. So let us press on in this coming week to know God. Let everything that comes your way be an opportunity to draw closer to God and ask him for his grace. He gives grace to the humble. And humility is not a destiny, it's a state. You can be humble now, and you can be proud now. And every time I see pride in me and God nudges me, I choose humility. And it's getting better than what it was 10 years ago, but I have still long ways to go. But what I see with God is he's so gracious, he's so merciful. He doesn't beat us down. He picks us up. He's the same Jesus that picked people up in the gospel. He did not condemn people. He came to save them from sin. And so let us encourage one another to pursue God. Let us encourage one another to seek his face. And even when I counsel people, I would tell people, what did God say? And when they would go and hear God, they would say, God told me to do this. I said, then do it. And then God would give them the grace. And I've seen people grow in maturity in their knowledge of God as they brought God into their lives. Thank you.